check it out. Hope to catch you there.
This is Harry from Adult DVD. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 in Kingston, Canada.
The following program is an all-language show which includes open discussions on topics related to the LGBTQ plus community and beyond, including, but not limited to, mature subject matter such as sex and sexuality, personal experiences, and more. We aim to create a respectful and inclusive space for all. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the producers and this outlet. Stay tuned for thought-provoking conversations and so much more.
Hi, I'm Saida Garrett, co-writer of Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror, and you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mr. Mark Tara.
Today on Rainbow Country, a flashback to my interview with queer alt-rock Saskatchewan band, Cupid's Heart. That and more in episode 450, so stay tuned. The Gay Talk Radio, right here on Rainbow Country.
Hello, my name is Conchita.
And I'm Barbie Q.
And my name is Hardcora.
And we are the B-Girls.
You're listening to
Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
Welcome to a brand new journey through Rainbow Country. As I like to call it, a little gay radio show working to give voice to the LGBT community and beyond. And as always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm producer and host, Mark Tara. By the way, Rainbow Country originates from CIUT-FM in Toronto and now proudly in syndication across Canada from coast to coast to coast. The Yukon, British Columbia, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, the east coast of Canada in Newfoundland, Ontario, even down to Buffalo, New York, and online. Well, thanks to you tuning in, streaming, downloading, but ultimately listening. Together, we continue to build Rainbow Country into a nationally syndicated gay radio show, as well as being recognized as a number one Canadian LGBT podcast. So on this episode, a flashback to my spotlight on Canadian queer artists. Today, Emma Jean, lead vocalist and guitarist, Stacey Dunn, cellist and backing vocals, and Zach Kerr, drums. Those are the members of queer alt-rock Saskatchewan band, Cupid's Heart. And they join me on this episode to talk about their four-song EP, Atrium, what it's like to be a queer band in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and more. Plus an hour to music from LGBT artists, independent artists, voices that we've come to know and love in classic disco, classic 80s, classic house. And on this episode, I'm featuring some classic gay 80s, some queer alt-rock, and more. All that lies ahead as we start Journey 450 through Rainbow Country. Our first stop, the Rainbow Country Bookstore. Today, award-winning writer, professor, and playwright Patrick Horrigan reads from his novel, American Scholar, a novel that tells the story of a man driven to discover, but afraid to know the truth about himself and his gay loves, past and present. By the way, on Amazon.ca, American Scholar has a rating of 4.1 out of 5 stars.
James Fitzgerald would no more part with those 12 storage boxes than cut off his right arm, for they contained all that was left of Gregory, in a material sense anyway. His files on lesbian and gay activism, articles on non-monogamy and queer theory, Marxism and feminism, his college notebooks, journals, essay drafts, old newspapers and magazines, flyers and pamphlets, song lists from his DJ days, everything to do with the gay study group at Columbia, not to mention record albums, cassette tapes, books, letters, items of clothing, his stash of political campaign buttons, a veritable time capsule of his life and the life they shared in New York in the 1980s. Every couple of months, Fran would mention the boxes, how they took up so much space in the spare room, how he wished they could turn it into a proper guest bedroom, or maybe even a nursery. That was the real issue, not the boxes. The boxes weren't in anybody's way. The real issue was children. Fran wanted a child by the time he was 40, and the drumbeat had only gotten more insistent since he turned 38. James didn't want children. "My books are my children," he sometimes said. "Well, I'm sorry, your books aren't enough for me," Fran would shoot back. They quarreled about it again this morning, and on the very day he was set to give a reading from American Scholar. Surely that was no coincidence. The buzz in the Warburg Lounge grew louder as the time approached. James had sequestered himself in the tiny office at the back of the lounge to look over his notes and some passages from the book. He never liked interacting with people before a talk or a class because it blew his concentration. Fran, meanwhile, was nowhere to be seen. James tried calling one more time. Still no answer. They'd originally planned on going uptown together, but that afternoon Fran texted saying he had to work late and would meet him at the Y instead. Now, minutes before the reading, he sent a message that the 7 train was delayed. So which was it? Too much work or subway trouble? Why not jump into a taxi or call an Uber? It didn't take a PhD in English to see what was going on. Of course he loved Fran and wanted him to be happy, wanted to do what he could to make him happy if it were possible. But raising a child, the sacrifice, the expense, the headache and heartache, he just couldn't fathom. The idea of being married wasn't even something he imagined for himself until a few years ago, much less being a parent. Maybe if he were younger, like Fran, he might feel different. But he was 54. He liked his life the way it was. His path, he believed, was set. He was already working on his next book, a series of personal and scholarly essays on place, from the house he grew up in to the home he'd made with Fran, along with some famous attics, rooms, and houses, both real and fictional, in between. And he could dimly see 2 or 3 more writing projects on the horizon. He took a deep breath. People had come to hear him speak about American Scholar. Friends and colleagues and students and people he didn't even know. Getting tangled in a marital spat was the last thing he wanted at this moment. He stood up, silenced his phone, and slipped it into his pocket. Now, with book, notepad, and lucky silver cross pen in hand, he entered the lounge. "Anyway, who knows?" he thought. "Maybe Fran will make it in time for the reception." Jimmy Fitzgerald entered the shift room of Earl Hall and took a quick look around. He felt nervous. 15 or 20 guys stood talking in small groups and pairs. Others sat in folding chairs arranged in a wide circle. Though many of the seats were already taken, he spotted 3 in a row still unoccupied. He crossed the room, trying to act like he knew what he was doing, like he belonged here, and chose the middle of the 3 so as not to have to sit next to anyone, at least not yet. Avoiding all eye contact, he methodically removed his coat and scarf and hung them over the back of the chair. He withdrew the book along with a notepad from his backpack and placed them on his lap. He dug through an inside pocket until he found his lucky silver cross pen, his favorite, a graduation present from his grandmother. Now, he wanted another moment to get comfortable, just take in his surroundings. The room was handsome. High ceiling, chandelier, deep-set arched windows with long drapes, dark wooden wainscoting, marble fireplace, an enormous Persian carpet. He took a deep breath. The buzz in the room grew louder as the hour approached. He wasn't ready to interact. At the same time, he wished he were any one of these guys now boisterously laughing and talking with friends. But of course, that's why he'd come in the first place. After living in New York for 2 years with hardly any social life to speak of, and since the breakup with Andy, virtually no romantic life, what he needed was friends, like-minded, openly gay friends. The gay study group at Columbia promised to be the answer to his prayers. The chatter in the room died down as Gregory called the group to order. Welcome to the gay study group at Columbia. My name is Gregory Lenda. Most of you know me. By day, I'm the bookkeeper for Democratic Socialists of America, and by night, I'm the organizer of this group. I started it 3 years ago with Bill, and he gestured with his elbow to a cute, muscular guy with enormous eyes and long sideburns sitting directly to his right. Hi, hi, Bill said, waving his hand, when we were seniors here at Columbia. At the time, we felt there was very little sense of community among gay men on campus. The big gay dance on the first Friday of every month was about the only formal event that brought people together. Otherwise, everybody would leave campus with their friends and head downtown to drink and dance. And don't get me wrong, he and Bill turned momentarily to look at each other. We love to drink and dance, but we thought there needed to be another way for gay men to get to know one another and also to learn about the community's history and politics, because I personally think the AIDS crisis has made it more urgent than ever to know who we are and where we're going. There's a lot of people out there right now trying to use this epidemic against us and turn back the clock on gay liberation. So that's why Bill and I created the study group, with the blessing and financial support of Student Activities. He clasped his hands in prayer. Thank you, Student Activities. And I'm proud to say our membership has been growing steadily ever since. I want to give a special welcome to the newcomers tonight. You mind just raising your hands so we know who you are? Jimmy, along with a handful of others, raised his hand. That's great. Welcome. So tonight, Bill's going to give a brief introduction to the book, and I'll facilitate the discussion. And then we have a surprise plan for you, so make sure you stick around. Then, as if Gregory were a news anchor, and take it away, Bill. First, I want to thank Gregory, Bill said, gently placing a hand on Gregory's knee, for making all of this possible. It's really good to be here. You all didn't see too much of me last year because I was studying to become a Quaker. This elicited a few ohs and wows from the group. He laughed and withdrew his hand from Gregory's knee. It's because of my boyfriend. He's a Quaker. Which reminds me, at some point, I'd like us to tackle religious ideas about homosexuality, maybe next semester. I think it would be great if we could, you know, take some ownership of that discourse, which is so often used against us. Just putting that out there. So this is how gay men talk, Jimmy thought, looking at Gregory and Bill, admiring their easy eloquence, envying their subtle camaraderie. He and Andy never had that tenderness with each other. This is the sound of their voices. This is how they comport themselves when sex is not top of mind. Gregory smiled. Being with you last night reminded me how good I used to feel with you. Me too. Jimmy felt the stirring of an erection. And how I used to feel I could tell you anything and you wouldn't judge me. I want you to feel that way. I know you never stopped caring about me. I never stopped, you're right, it's just, I know. You're the first real boyfriend I ever had, and I always, Jimmy paused to collect his thoughts. I have so much to learn about being in a relationship, but you are very important to me, you have no idea. I'm glad, Gregory said, sipping his beer. So, I feel I can tell you, I recently got tested again for HIV. Jimmy tensed up. And I'm happy to report the test came out negative. Oh, shit, are you trying to scare me? Imagine how I felt having to wait for the results. Was there any doubt? Gregory leaned back. There's always doubt. No, but I mean, did you really think you might be HIV positive? Yes. Why? Because the virus is out there and any one of us... No, seriously, have you had unsafe sex? Are you interrogating me? I think I have a vested interest in knowing whether a friend has been having unsafe sex. Well, I prefer to say safer, because you really never know. People get a false sense of security or doom with words like safe and unsafe. It's not that simple and clear-cut. Jimmy stared in disbelief. Sometimes you use a condom and there could be a tear you're not aware of, or you have foreplay and a drop of Gregory. James, you need to keep it down, he said quietly but forcefully. The warmth had gone out of his voice. Most people say you can't get it from cocksucking, and in the anal department, I only finger-fucked you, so you're fine. It's not me I'm worried about. I'm only telling you this because I wanted to celebrate the fact that I'm HIV negative, one day at a time, you know? You said you wanted to know my status, so I'm telling you. One day at a time? Are you nuts? The waitress arrived with their burgers. Anything else I can get you? No, just the check, Gregory said. She raised her eyebrows. Okay, gotcha. Gregory took out his sunglass case and threw it down on the table. What are you doing? I thought you would understand. He put on the sunglasses and tossed the case back into his bag. Jimmy pushed his plate aside. You're telling me you're having unsafe sex. I'm telling you I'm HIV negative. You must think I'm an idiot. I don't appreciate being scolded. He slung his backpack over one shoulder and slid out of the booth. Where are you going? I need some air. As Gregory walked out of the bar, Jimmy made eye contact with the bartender, who appeared to have been eavesdropping on their argument. The waitress returned with the check. Your friend coming back? Jimmy let out a soft laugh. He thought of an excuse that wouldn't sound embarrassing. Then he dismissed it. I don't know. You want me to wrap it up? She asked, clearly bewildered by Gregory's sudden departure. I don't know. No, I'm sorry. He won't be back. I don't know. You'll be paying for it, right? She said with a frown. Jimmy looked at her, then the exit. Yeah, he thought. I'll be paying for everything.
Up next, queer alt-rock Saskatchewan band, Cupid's Heart.
Hi, everybody. This is Gino Vanelli. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
How are you, Mark?
I am well. I am well. Stacey Dunn.
Hello. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well as well. Thank you again for having me.
My pleasure. Zachary Kerr. Bonjour, comment ça va?
Hello.
A man of few words. I have to say thank you all for being here. To have your voices, your stories be heard by the LGBT community. and beyond. So thank you for this, especially to talk about your group, your band, Cupid's Heart. Stacey, Emma, the two of you started Cupid's Heart, I believe, in 2022. In 2024, drummer Zach, I believe you joined the band in 2024. Emma, talk to me about how yourself and Stacey originally met. Let's start there. How did the two of you originally meet?
Well, we are actually a bit of a Tinder story. We connected on Tinder, you know, chatted for a while, dropped off for a while, connected again, made plans to meet, and started a bit of a relationship. And early on in that relationship, I saw what was a large black instrument bag in her office, and I was like, whoa, you know, like, this kind of looks like the right size to be Stacey, you know, is this a cello?
Yes, Emma, it's a cello.
And I was like, can we please jam? You know, that would be really awesome. That would be really fun. So I play the electric guitar in the band, and we started performing shortly after that, with just a few open mic nights, and then started writing our own music, and that's kind of the genesis of Cupid's Heart.
So Stacey, at what point did the two of you decide to start Cupid's Heart? Was there a moment? Was there a flashpoint? Was there a specific time when something happened and the two of you decided, let's start doing something together officially?
Well, you know, when she was describing seeing that cello, I thought it was going to be just kind of a one-off, let's go have some fun, let's go do some open mics and just have fun, you know, creating a bit of music together or playing music together. And at that open mic, you know, we played a couple cover songs by Santa Gold, and the audience asked us, you know, where can we follow you? And at that moment, I was like, oh, you know, maybe we're onto something here. Maybe we should keep going. And you know, Emma was in a band previously, and she has a lot of background creating music. And so it was just a really fun process to work on together, to actually start writing songs. And our first debut single, our debut single, Juliet, we created that together, you know, within those first few months of meeting. And it was just such a beautiful process to create music with your partner and then release it to the world in kind of a vulnerable way, and then have it kind of received in just a very beautiful way. And I just thought, you know, we're creating music that's meant to be shared, and I want to keep doing it. And so, yeah, Cupid's Heart kind of took off.
So Zach, you joined Cupid's Heart in 2024, you're a drummer. Talk to me about the process of you joining this. It started as a duo and now a band. How did you end up joining Cupid's Heart?
They asked me. They were on tour when they asked me, and they were gonna try and ship me out right to the Ontario area, but I just did have like commitments just at the time. But then, so then with that being said, then I was like, I just then started listening to the songs that I was then asked to learn, and a couple practices in, nervous but successful, and then yeah, Joan. And then yeah, and first gig was in Edmonton with them.
So Zach, did the three of you all know each other prior to you joining?
I filled in for Emma's old group at the time. Stacey I never met until actually when I saw them play, when it was just the two of them last year.
Mm. So Emma, for yourself, how would you describe the sound of Cupid's Heart?
Well, our phrase that we keep going back to is Chrissie Hynde, Pretenders vibes with a pinch of Nirvana. I think it does a pretty good job of kind of vaguely capturing kind of what we're sounding like. Alternative rock would be the really general way to say what we are, and maybe a little bit on the grungy side of things.
Okay, so in July 2023, Cupid's Heart released an EP, Atrium, a four-song EP. Quote, and you just mentioned it, quote, Chrissy Hynde Pretenders vibe with a pinch of Nirvana, unquote. And that's from the North Saskatchewan Music Zine, North Sass Music Zine. So, Stacey, how do you feel about your band being described as, you know, Pretenders, Nirvana? How does that make you feel?
Well, Mark, I feel like it's pretty cool. You know, you don't usually typically hear cellos kind of being in more of a grunge setting. And we've had to play around with some of the, you know, the projection of sound with it to kind of match the guitar. But it's been a really fun process. And I think it's just, I still love when the audience kind of comes up after and says, I wasn't expecting that sound, you know? So it's just been, yeah, I like it.
The punk rock cello.
Yeah. So Atrium is your first EP. Talk to me, and I'm not sure who wants to take this question, but talk to me about this EP and how it came about, because you guys have only been around for, you know, a couple of years. So how did this EP, what's the evolution of this EP?
Well, I thought that releasing the songs that we were creating was important, and it was a way to share them with an audience that's greater than just the what we can reach with our live performances. And we were producing really good material, and an EP is a way for an independent band like us to get some songs out there. And we also really found the whole experience to be quite fun and rewarding. Working in a studio, professional studio, recording our songs was also, it was new to us as both at the time. And that was really special. So it just sharing those kind of cool milestones with Stacey, and just being able to share them, what we were doing, a little bit more widely, I think was maybe the need to kind of get the songs out there. But it was also a way to involve other creative people in our life. And, you know, recording is one aspect of that, but also like the visuals. Like we have a good friend of ours, an artist friend, John Harrison Kendrick, who made the cover art for our album, and also recently did a really cool stop motion video. So I think also just like this way to kind of get people together creatively and have a reason to celebrate too. I'm kind of like going on a bit of a tangent here, Mark, but like having a single release is an awesome reason to throw a party and invite people and play some shows. EP release is even more fun because then you get to, you know, have a little object. And it,
although you could have an object with a single as well, like a CD single,
right, a vinyl or something. But I don't know, I guess this is just kind of like growing as musicians, growing as a band. You go from, you know, what you think is the next thing you should do to the other.
so talk to me about that particular evolution in regards to, because to me it seems as if in 2024 the music industry is very singles oriented. It's, you know, one release after another with streaming, and good luck getting paid on streaming. So the decision to put out an EP as opposed to like more follow-up singles, Stacey, how do you see that in regards to singles versus, you know, an EP versus an album, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right in saying that I do also see that, you know, singles releasing, you know, just the change in the way music is consumed is, you know, one way that people like to do it. But I think with the EP, especially with Atrium, Those songs were kind of a collection, and they came out of the, you know, we wrote them very early in our relationship, and so they were also kind of born out of this queer love story, and they were all kind of related in different aspects of love, and so they just fit really well together, and we wanted to release them as a collection that way to the world. And so that I think also guided the decision to do an EP. We'll likely do another EP. We like to kind of, you know, kind of put a little collection together and say, here you go, world, you know, so that's kind of just, it's not really necessarily, you know, thinking about how is it going to be marketed or how is it going to be consumed, but it's just kind of the way that we want to present it to the world.
And I think, go ahead, Mark.
No, you go ahead, please.
I was just thinking about how we would like to move in the future, and I do definitely see the value in you know, holding attention with multiple single releases, and I think that we will place an emphasis on that in the future, but I do also see the value in having a little collection at the end. So you know, releasing all these singles is great, but I would love to then put them on a little EP or a little collection, because I think it's wonderful to send them out and get them in the mail. Like I really love that part of things. And I think it's when you have a physical object, it is a way of capturing attention just in the here and the now. And digital era is great, but sometimes getting away from the screen is also a little bit special.
Mm-hmm. Zach, you guys are all based in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. The music scene in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, what is the music scene like there?
Throughout the years I've been playing, it has changed in kind of like genre forms. Like early on when I was playing, from what I was just hearing, it was punk and metal. It very much comes and goes. It dies down. A new genre just kind of, not really new, but just a genre that then is just being of interest kicks up. Pop punk was the thing, died down. And then, you know, rock died down, country dies down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes and goes. There actually are a lot of musicians here in Prince Albert. Mm. And it's cool that it very slowly has just been building up.
And the title for your first EP, Atrium, because there's no song called Atrium. Where does the title come from?
I really enjoy words that have multiple meaning. I think maybe it is part of an interest in poetry, but the word atrium is a word that can mean a entrance way, kind of like an entrance room, or a room full of light, or it can mean a chamber of the heart. So our band is Cupid's Heart, and we come from a bit of a love story, and it was our debut EP. So I thought it was just kind of a nice kind of visual or metaphor for introducing our music to the world in this kind of welcoming, light-filled room of the heart, you know?
And so, Stacey, the origins of the name of the band, Cupid's Heart?
Yes.
How did that come about?
It's a pretty cute story. So going back to when we first started playing open mics, it was just Emma and Stacey. But we wanted to test our music on an audience. So my friend's daughter, who was 9 years old at the time, Annette, she was our audience. And you know, afterwards, she was like, wow, now if you guys are going to be a band, you're going to need a band name. So we thought, okay, well, what would you name a band? Write down like your top, you know, 5-10 choices. And so we looked and we really liked the top three she came up with. And we checked to see which one was available, and Cupid's Heart. So that's how we were formed, or that's how we were named by Annette.
And on that note, we'll return after this Rainbow Country update.
Hi, I'm Garrett Conley, author of Boy Erased, a memoir. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
Of TGCD Style Toronto, and I'm a professional feminization makeup artist and stylist providing male-to-female transformations and mentoring to those who identify as a cross-dresser or a trans woman. I first heard of Rainbow Country and Mark Tara in trying to find a radio station that specifically caters to the LGBT community, and I'm so grateful I found this station. It's crucial having a platform like Rainbow Country that welcomes all aspects of the queer community, including allies like myself and what I do. It casts a spotlight on specific needs and interests of human beings, ensuring that people from all walks of life are being validated. It's a real privilege to be able to work with cross-dressers and trans women by helping them align themselves with their feminine energy through the glorious feminization process. So, I want to thank Rainbow Country and Mark Tara for providing this platform for all of us.
Starting on Sunday, April 13th, Rainbow Country will be heard in Liverpool, Nova Scotia, on QCCR-FM, Queens County. Appropriate, don't you think? That brings us up to 13 outlets carrying Rainbow Country from coast to coast to coast. If you, or maybe someone you know, would like to be a guest on Rainbow Country to get the word out about an upcoming project, maybe you have an interesting story or journey to share, well, simply head over to marktara.ca where everything is connected and send me an email. It's just that simple. And you too can have your voice and your story be heard coast to coast to coast.
Hi, my name is Joanne Vanicola and I'm an actor and a writer, and I was first on Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on discussing the massacre at Pulse Club in Orlando. I realized how important it was for our community to have a radio station specifically for our issues, to talk about people in the LGBTQ community and to provide an outlet for our stories, to discuss our politics, culture, and give voice to the issues that matter to us. And of course our artists and the things that we do globally, and talk about culture. And without people like Mark Tara providing a space for this with a radio show like this, then we wouldn't have that voice. So, support. Tune in. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Keegan Hurst, former professional rugby player, coach, raving homosexual, and you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
So, Stacey, Emma, the two of you are part of the LGBT community. Stacey, for yourself, do you think that the music that you've been creating, you've been creating it consciously through a queer lens? Do you think that that's an accurate statement?
I'm not sure if it's so consciously. I think that it's just happening naturally. Mm-hmm. But I am aware of the content that we're creating, and you know, again, when the audience members come up, and especially members of LGBTQ plus community, when they're saying how it resonates with them, you know, it's reaffirming to know that we're on, you know, the right path. And so, yeah, keeping that in mind when we're creating.
And Emma, for yourself, how do you see the creation of your music? Do you think you're creating it through a queer lens?
I think that is just kind of inevitable, just because of who I am and my identity, anything that comes out of me is inevitably crafted from that in some shape, some way. I'm not like trying to, oh, this is what I think, this is what I think queer music should sound like, do that, you know, like, just like, I just take it for what it is, that I'm queer. I am, you know, LGBTQS+. So anything that I create, I think it just is that. And the way that ideas come out, the way that emotions come out, I think trying to just be as natural as possible with that and just celebrate the ways that it is the same and the ways that it's different is kind of a cool, it's the approach that I'd like to take.
And expanding this duo into a band now, how conscious are you, like, are you just looking to get, when you were approaching Zach, were you just looking for another musician? Were you looking for someone who was part of the community? Talk to me about the evolution of Cupid's Heart, especially moving forward, and you may bring on other members in future, but in regards to Zach right now, how did that come about in regards to, you know, the two of you starting off and the two of you, you know, being a couple and adding now a third member? Was it something that you wanted to, like, just find another musician who is a good musician as a drummer or someone who's part of the community? Talk to me about that aspect. I'm not sure who wants to take this question.
Sure, I'll try. Well, Zach is a part of the LGBTQS+ community.
Oh, well done. Okay.
But actually,
I did not know.
We didn't fully know either.
Zach, so you really, sly fox, you.
Can't really list that as the reason why we picked him or anything. Mm. But I had always remembered Zach from working with him through my previous band. And I remembered how talented he was and how adaptable he was, and just that he was a wonderful, kind human. And that's the kind of people that we like to work with. So we wanted to try him right away. And, you know, I think that wanting to add drums to the band, it was something that we experimented a little bit with, the sound of live percussion. We realized that we really did like it, and it added to the energy of what we were going for, and it created, you know, some more dynamics, some more intensity. And Zach himself is quite a good showman, and he is he keeps the crowd quite entranced as well. So, like, now there's three of us working the attention of the audience, and yeah, lots of good things, lots of good reasons. It was fun working with the drum machine in the beginning. I think it helped us to get started as a group. But now that we have live drums, I don't think I want to go back.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll just add that, like, it wasn't just about finding an exceptional musician with exceptional skills, which Zach has. Mm-hmm. But also, yes, we are in a relationship. We have an intimate connection, so bringing someone else into this dynamic was certainly considered. And it was very apparent early on that Zach really fit our little energy scheme that we got going on here. And we just, I think that we've become really, really close as a trio, and it's just being able to continue this creation in such a comfortable, you know, inviting space. It's exactly how I would have imagined our evolution to be. So really excited to see what comes out of this.
Mm-hmm. I will say, though, you may want to hold on to that drum machine, because it can definitely be a texture that's in the background, like, you know, an ongoing thing in the background. If you think of, you know, like Genesis, the band Genesis, and Phil Collins, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Zach, for yourself and joining the group now, and you, the three of you are part of the community, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like you're able to be more of yourself in Cupid's Heart compared to maybe some other groups that you were part of?
you know, just very free-flowing. There's even just a bit more happiness.
Mm-hmm.
My heart has entered their chambers. It's entered the atrium.
And so let's talk about something that maybe that's not so much fun, and that's, you know, maybe rejection or homophobia or whatever it might be. But being in the middle of Canada, and, you know, the three of you being part of the LGBT community and having this group now, the three of you being part of this group now, going out and getting gigs and playing gigs and approaching, you know, venue owners and club bookers and all that sort of stuff. Emma, have you guys faced any sort of, you know, homophobia or, anything of that sort when dealing with aspects of the music industry at all?
I wouldn't say that there's been an incident that's been like aggressively directed at us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people in Saskatchewan are very polite people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the ways that homophobia works might be a little bit less overt. And that might take the form of just disclusion, but that's not really a thing that you can track as much.
Mm-hmm. You can't necessarily quantify it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that our way of operating is just to be so good that people can't help but, you know, pay attention to us or like us or see us for opportunities. Mm-hmm. And we also do quite a bit of our own, like, independent booking and promotion. And in kind of one sense of things, being from Prince Albert is an advantage in that it creates a lot more DIY mentality. And we have, like, an unofficial, you know, booker promoter hat, like, on our own head. and we organize shows not only for ourselves, but for other bands as well. So I think that it's not something that I see necessarily holding us back or anything right now. But we do tend to book our shows in larger centers. I would love to book some more small town shows because I think that it really would make a difference for the queer youth in those communities to see groups like us play in their small towns. But that's something to be thought about in the future. I think that the mission that we're on right now is just to become as good at what we do as we can and be so good that people have to pay attention. And then when we come to those small towns, we've got a really good name for ourselves. And I think that also handles one aspect of the power dynamic there.
Mm, well said. Okay, so in 2023, Cupid's Heart was nominated for a SAS Music Award in the Contemporary Indigenous Artist of the Year category. Stacey, for yourself, what does it mean getting that nomination, Contemporary Indigenous Artist of the Year, in that category, because you are part of the Indigenous community? What did it mean to you to get that nomination?
Well,
like for your band.
Mm-hmm. Well, I felt very, very humbled and very proud. It was beautiful to be recognized in that category, especially, and, you know, had a lot of community support, and it was very exciting, and I loved being able to share that with others. And I was just, thank you to SAST Music for nominating us. It was really wonderful.
And Emma, for yourself, what did it mean to you? What does it mean to you to receive that nomination? Because they can never take that nomination away.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it was great that Stacey's home community could share the spotlight, and that she was, you know, our band could be honored in that way, that we got to just show where part of us comes from. And mm-hmm. Stacey is Indigenous, and she is proud of her background, and I think that being an Indigenous musician, it also is something that the youth can look at and see. You know, we're queer musicians too. We're also thinking of queer youth, but I think just like our identities help to inspire, and so being able to celebrate that aspect of Stacey's identity was special for us.
Mm-hmm. So Zach, you guys are independent artists. You are part of an independent band. The music industry has changed radically. You know, you can be an independent artist, record in your bedroom, put it out onto the internet, and have success overnight, essentially. But yet, you know, that's not necessarily happening, you know, time and time again, right? So for yourself, Zach, how do you see the process of getting the word out when it comes to Cupid's Heart and your music, and still the challenges that you guys face as independent artists? How challenging is that for you in 2024 to get your music out to the audience, to your audiences? How do you essentially, like, you know, cut through the noise of everybody releasing something, essentially?
I think you know, you're in it, and you're kind of within the noise, or somehow, for just a moment, you know, you have cut through. And I think how we do show it, I feel we show it really at times more, is when we play live and just rock the hell out.
Do you see Cupid's Heart as more of a, for lack of better words, a live group, a live entity?
Yeah.
Hmm. And Emma, for yourself, how do you see this challenge? How do you see cutting through, you know, the noise that's out there? Because there's just so much of it. Because of technology and because of the ease of it.
Yeah, so I think one aspect of that is trying to work and plan in advance as much as possible. So planning releases and planning shows well in advance, so you can set yourself up as good as possible and have plenty of time to let people know about the things that you're doing, you know, whether it's a single release or a upcoming tour. Another thing that I think has helped us to cut through and set apart ourselves apart other than live performance, which I agree, I think that we have a really strong live show, would be just really trying to be a nice, friendly, thoughtful person and let people know, you know, thank you so much. Maybe doing things like when you're sending out information on your releases, like including a little note to that person. I think that in a world where there's so much information going everywhere, so many things to respond to, I think just getting just a little bit more personal and doing it in a kind, pleasant way is what I like. It's what I like.
And Stacey, mm-hmm. for yourself, how do you see this challenge of cutting through the noise?
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, it's also very accessible now, but I try not to get too discouraged or caught up in that. I think that, as I've said, and I truly, truly believe, we're creating music that's meant to be shared. And I think, you know, I'm not really doing this, you know, for myself. I feel like I'm creating because I want to share it. And I think that, you know, the live performance is so strong because it's felt, the audience feels that. And we share this kind of energy at each of our shows, and people will remember that. And I think that then, you know, when you're listening to the tracks, you kind of, these feelings might come up. And yeah, I'm just very optimistic that people will connect with it, and it'll happen.
So earlier you mentioned you have a new music video out. The track is what, Peace? And it's a stop motion video on your YouTube channel. In regards to this track, and it's what, the last track on your EP, Atrium, what's this track about, Emma? Peace.
Peace is a track that is loosely about a relationship gone wrong. There's an element of one person kind of not leaving the other alone. The refrain of the song, damn baby, just leave me in peace, I think is kind of trying to collect that emotion, that element. That's what I would say it's about.
Well said, well said. Well, Zach, Emma, Stacy, keep its heart. Well said, well done, well made, well recorded. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having us, Mark.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you very much for having us, Mark.
That was my flashback interview with Canadian queer alt-rock Saskatchewan band Cupid's Heart, whose EP, Atrium, is available wherever you get your favorite music. For even more on this queer alt-rock band, simply visit cupidsheartband.com. Taking us to hour two of Rainbow Country, Cupid's Heart.
Hi, this is Police Constable Danielle Botno, also known as LGBT Cop, and you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
This is Hour 2 of Rainbow Country, where I feature music from LGBT artists, independent artists, voices that we've come to know and love in classic disco, classic 80s, classic house. So if you stay with me, if you stick with me, I hope you think I'm bringing you music worth hearing.